Today we're going to be looking at developing a thankful heart. I'd like to ask you a question before we begin. What evidences are there in your life as to a thankful heart? Tonight we're going to be looking at the subject of the seriousness of sin. I want you to look at it from this perspective. Whenever we sin, that is the epitome of thanklessness, because God has given us provision to overcome sin. The motive, the power, the prospect of His blessing. And so often we overlook that, don't we? When we talk about developing a thankful heart, what do we mean by the term heart? Well, the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Obviously, whenever you see the term heart in the Old and New Testament, it's not referring to the organ of the heart, but it's referring to that part of man which is the seat of his emotions, his passions, his attitudes, his moral choices. So when we speak about a thankful heart, that's going to be expressed in thanksgiving in our passions, our emotions, our attitudes, and the choices that we're going to make. The condition of a thankful heart is vitally important to our spiritual as well as our emotional well-being. So the question rises, do you have a thankful heart? Well, I think it would be good for us, first of all, number one, to ask ourselves, what motivates us to be thankful? What are some of the things that ought to come up in a testimony service were we to gather together as God's people? Let me share just a few and echo, I believe, your sentiments as to what ought to motivate us to be thankful. First of all, we ought to be thankful because we serve the only true and sovereign God. He loves us unconditionally. He'll never cast us out. There are no conditions towards His love towards us. And He forgives our sins. Oh, how we need to be thankful that He is faithful and He is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord will not come up to you and say, I am sorry, you have exceeded your quota for the month. Now, I know that some of you might push it, but that's not going to happen. The Lord is a wonderful, wonderful Lord. Then we ought to be thankful. Another motivation. The Lord has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. You know, a seal in Bible times was a completed transaction. And we know that happened at the cross of Calvary when Jesus said, it is finished. The word seal implies a mark of ownership. When something belonged to you, it was engraved with a signet and it belonged to you. And a seal was a guarantee of safe delivery. Hasn't the Lord told us, He who has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ Jesus? So we have all of this to be thankful for. And then He has adopted us. We know that the Bible tells us that we're children by birth, but then it also uses the imagery of the fact that we've been adopted by His grace. And both are true. And because we've been adopted, He's given us the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And we have that close family relationship. It's a term of endearment. We can thank the Lord for that. Let me show you another. God has given every one of us spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is defined as a divine enablement since we've been saved that has been given to us to function in the body of Christ. Whether we're in the church or outside of the church, we've been given spiritual gifts, and God has a specific plan for our lives. Some of you are going to be gathering together this Thanksgiving season with grandchildren. Oh, how precious it is that we can tell them that God has a plan and purpose for their lives, and that God would have us to draw close to Him and stay close to Him and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, that He would lead us. Those are things to be thankful for. How about this? Our Heavenly Father, we're told in the Word of God that He's merciful, He's loving, and He's a good God. And even the apparent tragedies that we may look back on for 2017, and many of you have had a rough 2017. I know it, because in many cases, I was with you through it. And you shared with me, and we experienced some of the prayer requests as a church family. But you know, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. He's our merciful, loving, and He promises Romans 8:28, and He inscribes it over every single trial that we may go through. Oh, how we can be motivated to be thankful. A fifth motivation is this. We have the privilege of developing close relationships with others. That's the beauty of the local church, the beauty of gathering together and growing closer. And many of you have testified unto me repeatedly, you know, Pastor John, I'm closer to my spiritual family than I am to even my natural family. And we have a common bond in Christ Jesus. We can pray for one another, encourage one another, and also be accepting of one another. There ought not to be a fear, oh, if I share this need in my life, what will people think of me in the church? You know, we need a transparency in our church. We need to be able to share burdens and needs that are in our hearts and know that we have the unconditional acceptance and love of God's people. Oh, that's something to be thankful for. Melody had an appointment over in Tarpon Springs, and we were coming back on State Road 75, and then we take Highway 50 to Winter Garden, and that long, circuitous journey there. And I saw a sign that said, "This church is not for perfect people." You know what I said? Boy, that'd be a good one to go to. And, you know, when you see a sign like that, they ought to put a little parenthetic statement. If you think you are perfect, don't come. That's what they ought to say. You'll ruin it, you know. So. Number six, we can be thankful and motivated towards thankfulness because Jesus went to heaven to prepare a place for us. And He has you in mind. Some of you have in your mind placemats where everyone is going to be sitting. Oh, some of you are given to such details. I'm not that way. I just grab the forks and tumblers and the plates, and everyone will find a place somewhere. But some of you are very, very organized in what you do, and I'm glad Melody's that way, and it's not up to me. I just bring home the bacon, and she cooks it. But Jesus went to heaven. He's preparing a place for us, and He has us in mind. And not only that, but He's interceding at the right hand of the Father for us. That brings a tremendous motive for thanksgiving. We have the Word of God to guide us as a compass. Somebody once said America has lost her moral compass because we've abandoned the Word of God. We have also number eight, and I would close this section with this. The Lord has created our amazing bodies. Now, some of you say, well, I have a body, but I don't know that it's amazing. Somebody once said, my wife tells me I have the body of a god. Too bad it's Buddha. Well, the Lord has created our bodies amazingly. Our bodies that are able to be healed, our bodies are able to, after a good night's rest, wake up and get to work again. How many times have you been busy working in the yard? You take a nap and boy, you're ready to go at it again. He renews ourselves. Our bodies are able to heal themselves. And how we thank the Lord for the amazing bodies that the Lord has given to us. So we're going to be driven to the Word of God on this second section. What areas of our lives should we have a thankful heart for? What are some of the areas? In what areas of our lives should we have a thankful heart? Well, I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 100. I don't imagine that any of you have ever gone to a children's program. If you have your child in a Christian school and you've gone to the children's programs, I remember even the children's programs that I used to be involved in during Thanksgiving in my home church. All of us had an instrument in my children's church that I belonged to as a little child. And I always wound up with the oatmeal box and a stick. And I was the drummer boy. Quaker Oats. You remember the Quaker Oats? I remember my dad was unsaved back then, but he'd go to those programs. And he would laugh so hard that the tears would come down his face because little Johnny was pounding the dickens out of that Quaker Oak box. But, you know, you go to these children's programs and they always deal with the wonderful scripture of Psalm 100. Isn't that true? You go to the children, the Christian school programs, it's a wonderful. But listen, look at verse 4. The Word of God says we ought to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. You see, thanksgiving ought to impact our worship for the Lord. And as we worship, we give thanks unto Him. Giving thanks as to who the Lord is. Giving thanks that we can come together with brothers and sisters in Christ. And yes, even give thanks that we have a facility to meet in. We thank the Lord for that. Now notice, we need to exercise thanksgiving and have a thankful heart, even in our prayers. Many of us have deep and lasting prayer requests that are tremendous burdens to our hearts. But you know, in the Bible, it says in Philippians 4:6, in our prayers, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Notice the insert, with thanksgiving. In every one of these verses that we're looking at, and there are going to be seven of them, every one of these verses include the word thanksgiving. Thanksgiving ought to be part of our worship, Psalm 100. Thanksgiving ought to be part of our prayer time, Philippians 4:6. And yet, how many times have we developed a gimme, gimme mentality, where we go to the Lord just when there's a need or a problem, instead of just thanking Him even for trials? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 12, there's a third area. You know, we ought to have a thankful heart even when we give, whether it's in the offering plate as it comes around, or in our deeds of benevolence one towards another. Do well unto the household of faith, but especially others as well. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 12, in the context of an offering that was being taken for the poor saints at Jerusalem, this Gentile church, a church filled with Gentiles, helping the mother church, just think of it. The church that had been at one time very prosperous in the book of Acts, that themselves knew what it meant to share, they came under persecution. Isn't it beautiful that you have within the body of Christ, as it were, one hand washing another? And now a Gentile church that had been involved in paganism and all of the uncleanness that characterized the Corinthian church, now they're helping the mother church. And Paul exhorts them that giving is a grace in verse 8. And notice what it says in verse 12, speaking about their gifts. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, not only are you helping the poor saints of Jerusalem in their need, but notice it's abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. By your helping the poor saints at Jerusalem, you're enabling them to thank God in their worship for God's provision. You know, it's wonderful to give to people in need, but it's also wonderful to see them give glory to God and use it as a testimony of how God provides, and you can be part of a blessing in someone else's life. Think of an area that we can be having a thankful heart. For instance, in the book of Philippians, our friendships can even be truly something that we can be thankful for. Any pastor that loves his people, whether he goes to another church and remembers those in previous churches or even those within his current church. In Philippians 1, Paul says, I'm writing to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Grace to you, peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, there's that word, thanksgiving, upon every remembrance of you. I think back to people that have been a blessing to our family. Many of you just recently with Michael, as you shared in a tangible way, just with a thanksgiving gift, Michael now is able to say, I thank God for all remembrance. Because you see, we minister to people. And let me tell you, if you want to be a blessing in someone's life, be used of God to help them in such a way. And that has a lasting impression, and it encourages them on the work of the Lord to keep on keeping on in the ministry. And thank God for the many church members over the years that Melody and I have served, that we look back here and in previous churches, and we thank God upon all remembrance of them. And many of you have loved ones in previous churches that the Lord brings to mind because they were a refreshment for you and a blessing. And how we can give thanks for that this holiday season. Number five, even the spiritual battles that you're facing, can we actually have a thankful heart for spiritual battles? And even those things that may bring us close to death? Well, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. Jesus took care of that. The strength of sin is the law. Jesus fulfilled that. And there's the word thanks. Thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Even the battles that you may face, whether they are spiritual or whether they are physical, what can the devil take from you? A persecutor may take your life, but he's just hastening on the arrival of a better existence in the presence of the Lord. And we have the promises of God. And every one of you, I'm going to be with you for all eternity. So we better start liking each other real good. Just think of that. But you know, we're going to be together for all eternity, and we can thank the Lord for that. And many of you are facing spiritual battles and difficulties, physical battles and health problems and all of that, but ours is the victory. Then look at Colossians chapter 2. And verse 6, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, we can thank the Lord and have a thankful heart for daily living. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, as we have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with what? There's the word thanksgiving again. Walk ye in him. Last Wednesday, we talked about the walk of the believer. We've been having a series in Sunday school, Significant Stumbles. Oh, it all has to do with our walk with the Lord. We are rooted and grounded in him. And then, of course, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 reminds us we're to give thanks in everything. Give everything, and everything give thanks to the Lord. Now, I ask you this question. What is the impact of a thankful heart? What is the impact? How does it impact us, and how does it impact others? Well, first of all, it results in godliness because we become aware of the Lord's presence. When we're faced with a trial or a testing or a blessing or whatever it may be, when we quickly give thanks to the Lord, it shows that we are living under the awareness, practicing the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. It results in godliness because we're aware of his presence. But secondly, it motivates us. When we have a thankful spirit, and even though we may not feel in our hearts like giving thanks, when we do so, it motivates us to look for his purpose in our circumstances. Lord, I'm going to give you thanks for this. I don't understand why it happened, and I may not even like it, but I'm going to give you thanks because I know that you've written Romans 8:28 over this, and I'm going to trust that you have a purpose towards making me conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. When David Jeremiah experienced lymphatic cancer at the age of 56, he had a horrible struggle because he was given the diagnosis and then also the treatment that would require literally in a bone marrow transplant that brings you to the very edge of death and then starts rebuilding you. And he began seeing his future as a church, and it was looking very bleak as a pastor. And yet he told the Lord in the middle of the night at a moment in time, he said this, Lord, I belong to you. You've called me into your service. My life is yours. My will is your will, Lord. Whatever you desire to do in my life, I want to give my life to you. He testifies that between the ages of 56 years old and his current age now, well into his 70s, God has used him in ways that he never dreamt in his entire life, because he was willing to take that trial and look to God in his purpose. Thirdly, on the impact of a thankful heart brings submission to the will of God, even though you don't understand. Fourthly, it's our reminder of our dependence upon the Lord on a daily basis. It results, by the way, in a stronger witness. When you witness to people and you share vulnerable times that you've experienced, when you're able to sit down with a neighbor and tell them about a horrible family situation that took place, or a tremendous illness, or something that took place in your life of a financial reversal, and then you're able to explain to them the difference that knowing Jesus Christ meant in your life, it's going to enhance your witness. Because no longer are you witnessing from the standpoint of I'm perfect, or everything is always just great in my life because I know Jesus as my Savior. Yes, Jesus makes a difference, but you know what? In Matthew 7, the storm came upon the house that was built on the rock, and the storm came on the house that was built on the sand. Both experienced the storm, but the house on the rock stood firm, and we have an enhanced witness, where people begin to connect. When you start talking about troubles and then explaining to them the difference that Jesus makes, people will sit up and listen. No longer are you clubbing them over the head with the fact that they're going to hell. You're showing them that Jesus Christ makes a difference where the rubber meets the road. The Bible talks about adorning the gospel of Christ in Titus chapter 2 and verse 10. People are talking about adorning trees now. Well, you know what? When we have a thankful heart, it's an attraction to others to want what we have. And we can thank the Lord that we can have that as well. An attraction. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Doesn't stop there. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Another impact of a thankful heart is that we have joy and contentment in place of fear and anxiety. When we have a thankful heart, it takes away that fear and anxiety and shows us the way and the pathway of joy and contentment. Number 8, it focuses on God. A thankful heart enables us to focus on God in difficult times. It transforms our attitudes towards others. When other people may bring irritations into our life or misunderstand us or persecute us, when we thank God, the disciples, even when rejected and cast out of cities, thanked God that they were privileged to suffer for his namesake. And when we have an attitude of gratefulness, it transforms our attitudes towards others. Rather than getting bitter, we can even see our adversaries as tools in the hands of God to teach us to trust the Lord even more. And you know, an attitude of thanksgiving in the impact of a thankful heart, it gives us supernatural energy. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Supernatural energy is given to those who trust in the Lord. When we give a burden upon going to bed, Lord, I'm going to bed now. I'm facing this problem. But you know what? He who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. So, Lord, I know you're going to be awake. No use both of us being awake. I'm going to go to bed, and I'll leave this in your hands. And when we wake up, we've had a good night's sleep, and you haven't even used MyPillow. MyPillow.com, that is. So we thank the Lord for supernatural energy that God gives us to recharge ourselves for him. You know, we, as a practice, observe the Lord's Supper, don't we? And the first of the month, we do so. Some churches do it every Sunday. Other churches do it quarterly. That's a matter of the autonomy of the local church. But this whole thing of the Lord's Supper and such, let me just show a progression here. The Lord's Supper is oftentimes referred to as the Eucharist. Now, don't let the liturgical sound scare you. I'm not saying that the Lord's Supper is a sacrament that imparts grace, because only the blood of Jesus Christ can do that. But the Lord's Supper is the Greek word that is used. A Eucharist means to give thanks. It's a word which means to give thanks to the Lord through the elements for what he's done for us. Isn't it a beautiful concept that thanksgiving ought never to be just a November thing, but it ought to be every day because it's part of our redemption. And it means the giving of thanks for what the Lord has done for us. Oh, I trust as you gather together with friends and loved ones, And by the way, consider those who may not have anywhere to go for Thanksgiving season. Look around. Part of local church ministry is to be concerned about those that may not have anyone. Maybe there's a neighbor or a friend or a loved one that you might be able to invite. If you're going to be in town, may God challenge our hearts to be a conduit of His special grace with a thankful heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that if there's one listening to this message that does not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, Lord, that verse in 2 Corinthians 9:15 comes to mind. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. We thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us on the cross of Calvary. And Lord, that's an everyday. Someone who said, thanksgiving is thanks living, certainly had it right. Bless us, Lord. Forgive us when we've been prone to complain and grumble and to be dissatisfied. And Lord, help us, Lord, to exemplify the graces of the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.